Father, right now we come to you and we come as your people, as one. And we pray you would speak to us around your word. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Without you, we'd be on our way to hell and some of us would already be there. But you've intervened in our lives and you've saved us. We thank you for this great gospel. And Lord, we pray that today we would become more like you, more like your disciples that you called us to be. Speak to our hearts through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You can sit down and just pat the person beside you on the back and say, you're so blessed to be sitting next to me. That's right. Okay. Today we're going to be talking about connecting. Connecting, not so much connecting with God, but we love that, and we always talk about that. But today we're going to be talking about connecting with each other. Connect. So why don't you do that with me? Connect. That's my prop. It's a little sign. So that's what we're all about today, connect. Because we don't only follow Jesus as an individual, we follow him as a group. We follow him as the church. The church is not just you. The church is not just me. The church is us, all of us together. And much of Paul's instruction to the churches in the New Testament was not to individuals, but to all of us as one group. We are called to serve God, old and young. And speaking of young, I was out at kids camp last night and it was amazing. And we talked about the Holy Spirit and I'd say almost half of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit. All these kids speaking in tongues, it was amazing. And let's keep praying for God to move on them this morning because camp doesn't finish till after lunch today. So it's really exciting what God's doing. There were about 40 of them in all their little matching t-shirts. It was fantastic. If you weren't able to get your kids to kids camp this year, don't worry, but there'll be next year. And I really encourage you to make the effort to position them in a place where God can touch them. Whatever age they're at, for kids, for empower age, intermediate, for youth age, because we can't make our kids have an encounter with God, but we can put them in a position where they probably will. So it's really exciting what God is doing with all ages. We need each other. You and I need the fellowship of other Christians. And Jesus said that the world will know we are his disciples by our love for one another. And we are called to encourage one another in our love for God. We're called to love one another. The Bible says so many times, love one another. So many times. And we need each other's encouragement. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt discouraged? If not, maybe you could just fly around the room while the rest of us give you a little clap. But the truth is, we've all been discouraged or felt alone at one time or another. And some of us here may have been through something so difficult that you've even wondered, can I ever come back from this? Can I ever make a comeback from this breakup, from this divorce? Can I ever make a comeback from this redundancy? Can I ever make a comeback from this bankruptcy or whatever it is? But the good news is today you can. You can because God is in the ministry of restoration. And we encourage one another to keep going forward because we're each running a race. And it is vital that we each finish our race and finish it well. But it's not only about our race. We can each play a huge part in helping others finish their race too. If someone gets tired and can't run anymore, and you notice they're slowing down in their pace, or you notice they've stopped completely, you can help them get going again. We can connect with others, and we can run together. And our mission here at City Church is to save souls, disciple believers, and train leaders. Say it with me. Save souls, disciple believers, and train leaders. That is what we are all about. And when we come together to serve God with this one purpose, the effect is multiply. I love what it says in Leviticus 26:8a. It says, 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. This is the multiplication factor, because the reality is we are better together. Tell the person next to you, we're better together. That could have been a great opportunity for some of you single guys right then. depending on who you're sitting next to or not. Prophesy. We're better together. Okay. We are better together. We are serving him side by side as an army, shoulder to shoulder, brothers in arms, sisters in arms. That's who we are. We're not serving God alone like some hermit living up the chimois in a cave. We're serving God together. And the Lord likened us to being one body of believers. And we were designed by God to do life together in community. We were not designed for isolation. Isolation can be harmful. It is harmful for us. Solitary confinement is the worst punishment available, aside from obviously the death penalty. We need to be connecting with each other every week. And I believe it's no coincidence that you are here as part of City Church. And I believe we're each called here by God in order to work together. And this is a holy, divine connection. God has called us together to be a spirit-filled community. And the devil hates the unity of God's people. He hates it because it's supernatural. So he attacks it. He puts pressure on our relationships, on our marriages, on our friendships with one another. And sometimes we feel just tempted to ditch these people that he's put us with. But when we stand firm together, connected through the pressure, this bond is strengthened even more than it ever was before. So today we're going to look at five main scriptures. So get ready. If you're taking notes, get your Bible out. Here we go. Acts 2.
When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now,
Amen. How good would that have been to be there that day? But we have the same Holy Spirit filling us right here. The same Holy Spirit who turned up last night at kids' camp. And then the kids were writing down what God said to them in their journal and drawing pictures. And one little girl wrote in tongues. And I'm like, oh, wow. She said, that's my tongue. And she just wrote it out phonetically. It was beautiful. I've never seen anyone do that. Although sometimes when I go to the doctor and they give you a prescription, I do wonder. Anyway. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Some versions say they were all in one accord. They all had one mind. Other versions say they all had the same mind. Now, we're not just talking about the 12 disciples here who were all buddies, who were all mates. This was a really diverse bunch of believers. There were men and women. There were 120 of them. And they were all united together in faith and in prayer and in agreement. There was a strong wind and flames of fire appeared above their heads, and 120 people were all baptized in the Holy Spirit and all started speaking in other tongues and other languages that they had not studied or learned. This is supernatural. Later on that day, 3,000 people were also saved and baptized in water. So when the Holy Spirit first came in power, it was on people who were in agreement in prayer. Not just for 1 minute, but for 10 days. He still wants to come with power and fall on people who are in agreement. And here today in 2018, we still want to see the power of God move, don't we? Don't we? Yes, we do. And we all still want a visitation of the Holy Spirit. We all still want revival. We all still want the same outcome they had here in Acts 2. But are we prepared to do what they did to get what they got? These Christians were all together. They were all in one place, so all in one accord with the same mind. They were all hungry enough for God to pray for 10 days. The reality is God still wants to come with power and fall on people who are in agreement in prayer today. But how often can he get them to be all together in one place? In one accord of the same mind. The Holy Spirit was not poured out on scattered individuals who were all over the place doing their own thing. He was poured out on people who were all together in one place. The Holy Spirit fell on them, and he baptized them into one spiritual body, the church. The church is meant to be all together in one place. Sunday, it's here, but during the week, it's at connect groups in homes all over the city. Now, we've got the Church Universal, But then we've got lots of local churches. And we need to pray about where God's putting us. And then when God tells us to go there and sow ourselves in. Now, all together in one place is hard to achieve. When some people are sleeping in, or some are surfing, some are out shopping at the mall or off playing golf. And if we're on and off in our church attendance, it hurts everybody. It hurts us. It hurts our children. It hurts the church. I love what it said in Acts of the early Christians. It said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. God wants to pour out his spirit on his people who are all together in one place. And connecting together on both Sundays and in connect groups needs to be a high priority for all of us. We need to be all together in one place with our kids included. Never underestimate the power of just turning up. God, we pray that our hearts will be so hungry for you that we would be all together in one place, in this place, in Jesus' name. Man, I remember 30 years ago when I was not a Christian, just over 30 years ago, just before I got saved, experiencing for the first time not only the love of God, but the love of God's people. Because God's people are like Jesus with skin on. They're like Jesus right here, right now. And before I was even saved, Carolyn invited me to go with them. We were all living in Hamilton, over to the beach for the day, over here to the mount with all the youth group. And their youth group was called Powerhouse. So we went and we all jumped in cars and came over here for the day to the beach. And I had never seen a group of people like this. I could not figure them out. They all loved one another. They all had this unity, and I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't even articulate it. It was freaky. And they all accepted each other. And no one was like backbiting anyone or trying to steal anyone's boyfriend or backstabbing or swearing about each other. No one was drunk or stoned. They just were all having fun. And some of them, the guys were like throwing girls in the surf, and it was just a crazy time, but it was a real witness to me. I had never seen anything like it before, because it's a God thing. It's a supernatural deal, this unity of God's people, this love. And their unity and fellowship was a witness to me. I wanted to become part of them, because there's nothing else like this anywhere. I wanted to have that many friends who were full of love and acceptance and unconditional love for each other. I'm talking true friends, not Facebook friends. Friends who would take a bullet for you. Did you hear about the guy who said to his mate, "I'll take a bullet for you, man"? Not in the head, but maybe in the leg or somewhere. Don't be like that guy. You know, I had never felt I belonged anywhere so much until I got saved and joined the church and join God's family. If you go anywhere on the planet and you find the people of God, you've found home. That's family right there. Because we all have the same Father. We've all been born again. And some of us need to get more into fellowship with other Christians. Some people who are Christians don't have any Christian friends. And we need to make some. We make them when we go regularly to church and to connect group. Because here on a Sunday, there's a heap of people, and it's harder to share your heart when you're in a line for the coffee. But at Connect Group, when you're sharing and talking about God and the things of God, and then you pray for each other, you've got opportunity to share your heart with people. It's awesome. And wherever God's calling you, I know when God called us, when we just got married, to come from Hamilton and come here in the church and help James and Mary with the church, I felt like I knew God had called us here, but it was hard because all our friends were back in Hamilton. And I wanted to go back there every weekend, but we had to say, "No, God, you've called us here," and start barbecuing here with these people here, and stop going back there all the time, and start sowing in here and making friendships here. And it took 6 to 12 months, but after that, after a year, I didn't want to go back there anymore, because I'd sowed my heart in here. Where your treasure is, your heart will be. Where your treasure is, your heart will follow. And as you sow in the treasure of your love and your heart and your energy into people, then your heart will follow and be there. If God's called you here to City Church, put your roots down. Make an effort. Start sowing into people. Start connecting. Start barbecuing with these people. And then after a while, your heart will be here. Thank you, Lord. We have the same Father. You know, the church was born in a prayer meeting with hungry people seeking God. Praying together causes us to get closer and love each other more. You know, when we agree in prayer together, our spirits are knitted together. Friendships are bonded even closer when people pray for each other, when people pray with each other. You know, I used to lead a connect group over 10 years ago called The Chicks, and all the girls would come around to our place because when we had kids, we realized you can't both go out to connect group because, you know, unless you've got a babysitter, it's a real drag. So one of you has to stay home with the kids. So what we did was all the women would come to my place on one Tuesday, and Alan would hide up in the bedroom with our kids and try and keep them quiet. And then the next week would switch over, and he'd run one, and all the guys would come out, and all the women would stay home with the kids, which works great if you're not on your parenting on your own, or if your spouse is not on shift work, which didn't work so well if that was your circumstance. But anyway, I remember running these groups, and at the end, I'd see women, like, would be talking, and then people would be talking in pairs after being talking about the Lord, and then they'd be praying for each other, and then I'd look up and they'd be crying, and, you know, deep and meaningful bonds and friendships were formed in prayer as we ministered to each other. I find this too with the worship team, because that's part of my connect group now. Every week we're up here and we're worshiping together and we're praying together and sometimes for each other and we're having laughs and we're eating together. It's awesome. Do you know food is people glue? When we eat together, we're bonded. It's scriptural. Jesus ate with the disciples. The first thing he did when he was resurrected from the dead is he got any food and he started eating with them. He ate some fish or something. And do you know the first thing we're going to do when we get to heaven is the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to sit down and eat. This is what we do at connect groups. This is what we get. We get fellowship. We get unity. And you get this at church. You know, this kind of deep bond when you're praying for each other and you're standing with each other and encouraging one another as you serve the Lord and you're worshiping together. You don't get this at the croquet club. It's a beautiful thing. You walk into connect group carrying a burden and then you walk out again free because others have hugged you and prayed for you and prophesied over you and fed you tea and bickies and loved you. And then you leave there feeling like dancing. It's awesome. You walked in burdened and you walked out free. This is what we can do as we encourage one another. And we have time to share our hearts. And we need both. We need the Sunday meeting and we need the smaller groups during the week. And this is biblical. In Acts, they met together in the temple and from house to house. We need both. It's true Christian community. And God loves unity. What amazing unity we see in this text in Acts 2, when the church was born with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The release of true power is directly related to the unity of the believers. Pastor Jack Hayford said, true Holy Spirit power melts hearts and brings us to unity in soul. True Holy Spirit power melts hearts and brings us to unity in soul. Do you know, unity is godly. It is like God. Because God is a triune being. He is three but one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but he's one. He dwells in perfect unity with himself. God just liked hanging out with himself. And the Lord wants us to reflect his nature and be in unity with each other. The Lord calls his church to unity. And I believe he is calling us afresh to unity right now. And this happens as we connect weekly on Sundays at church and in connect groups. We need to connect. Tell the person next to you, we need to connect. That's right. We need to connect. In the natural realm, sometimes unity can seem like a long shot. You can be thinking, well, hello, Eleanor. You know, at City Church, we've got a bunch of 1,100 strong-willed, pioneering Kiwis, each with their own opinions and viewpoints. And don't forget, throw in a few Brits, Americans, and South Africans, and Koreans, and what do you get? You want us all to agree on stuff? You think we're meant to, like, try and come to some kind of agreement on the volume of the praise and worship, on the temperature of the air conditioning, and on biblical doctrine as well? Hello! We'll take a miracle! Yes, it is an ongoing miracle. This kind of unity is supernatural. We truly need God for us to be connecting in unity, and we can't do it without God. It is only God who can enable us to love people who normally without God we would not even like. Don't look at the person next to you. We're not talking about them. There are people in this church who are totally different to you. Different gender, different age group, different ethnicity, different politics, different socioeconomic status, different background. You don't even like their dress sense. There are people who've never been to church before. And then there's people who've been going to church for all of their long lives. Hands up if you were coming to church even 9 months before you're born. Some of you are so spiritual you even came to church before you're born. That's amazing. There are people who've only ever been at City Church, and there's people who've come from a more traditional mainline church background. Even our church backgrounds are different. It's like, have you heard about the outgoing Pentecostal woman who walked into a traditional liturgical church service one Sunday? During the preaching, she was so caught up in the sermon, she loudly exclaimed, "Amen! Praise the Lord!" And a fellow worshiper next to her whispered to her, "Excuse me, but we don't praise the Lord here in the Lutheran church." And then another guy goes, "Oh, yes, we do. It's here on page 19, pointing to the hymn book. I guarantee there are people here at City Church who you have nothing in common with except for two things. You love Jesus and you live in Tauranga. And that's enough. Because if we have Jesus in common, we have everything in common. Because he is everything. Jesus is the common denominator. He is the glue that holds us together. God is my Father and yours. We have the same dad. So that makes us brothers and sisters. We are family. We are family. You know it. We are. It's true. And we don't have to like every single thing about each other in order to be in unity. God has asked us to journey together as a church. Now, unity is not uniformity. Unity does not mean we're all exactly the same. Just look at the person next to you right now and say, "Amen." But it does mean we're connected. It does mean we are committed to serving God together, because unity takes maturity. We need to look past our differences and our points of view that don't agree. Now, we're looking at five main scriptures today. We've had the first one was Acts 2. Let's go to the second one, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 3a. Thank you. It says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace." That's the NIV. The NLT, New Living, says, "Be led along together by the Holy Spirit. So be at peace with one another." Because sometimes keeping the unity takes effort. And all the married people said, "Amen." Marriage is for mature people. We need to make keeping unity a priority. This means having the maturity to resolve any conflict quickly. This means being committed to keeping relationship with others at City Church who God has brought alongside you to journey with. Too many people have ditched their local church because they've had a falling out with someone at church. May even be with the pastor. Most pastors are in ministry because they love God and love people. Not many pastors I know want to hurt people. They don't wake up in the morning and say, "Today I just want to hurt somebody." Well, Alan maybe does, but I never do. Such a nice person. But sometimes this happens inadvertently. We say the wrong thing. Or maybe Billy Bob. There's no one in this church called Billy Bob, which is why I use his name, okay? I just pick it out of a hat. So if your name happens to be Billy Bob and you're visiting today, I'm not talking about you. Billy Bob wants to have an international ministry of line dancing as a feature in the church calendar. But the pastor does not share his vision and so says no. So Billy Bob's gone. He's out of here. He's offended. He's been hurt in church. He's off. He's saying, "Sorry, I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm pulling my big bucks out of here." Do you know, if Alan offends me at home, do I say, "I'm out of here. That's it. That's your last chance. I've had it with you. Talk to the hand. I'm getting me a divorce." No. We sort it out. We work it through. I just wait for him to realize he was wrong and humble himself and seek my forgiveness. And I say, "Get up, don't grovel. It's not manly. Go and sin no more." That doesn't happen. But journeying together in love will sometimes involve offense and disagreement. But you commit to working it out. You don't just run. We've got to be bigger than that. So many people today just run. They run from job to job, from commitment to commitment, from marriage to marriage, from city to city, from church to church. Let's be big enough to work it through and get help if you need to. Help is available. Jesus taught us conflict resolution skills. We'll go to our third scripture. This is Jesus' conflict resolution skills. We should all write this down because Jesus knows how we can resolve conflict. Matthew 18, verse 15, 16, 17. We'll look at the first bit. If your brother or sister offends you, go to him. Go to her. Not to your mother. Not to social media. Not to your best friend. Not to the girl at the checkout in the supermarket. Can you believe what he did? Can you believe what she said? Go to the person who offended you. And show them their fault just between the two of you. If they listen, you've won them. If they don't listen, take one or two others along. Not your best friend. But someone, not just someone who'll back up your side of the story, but someone with maturity, maybe a leader, maybe your connect group leader, and you're committed to resolving all negatives positively. You're committed to working it out. And if they still don't listen, tell it to the church. That doesn't mean you come up here on Sunday and grab the mic and go, can you believe what they did to me? That means you tell it to the church leaders so it can be resolved. Now, Jesus expects us to be mature enough to practice conflict resolution. He wouldn't have taught on it if there wasn't going to be any conflict. We can do this in marriage too. Women, if we've been offended by said husband, and we do the silent treatment, the ice maiden thing, and he says, what's wrong? And you say, nothing, that's a lie. Right there is your opportunity to point out his offense, or vice versa. If it's the other way around. And we talk about it. We don't just pretend there's nothing but getting in the snot and don't talk for 3 days. That's immature. We need to move beyond that and learn to speak the truth in love. Jesus would not have taught on this if there was not going to be any conflict. If your brother offends you, if your sister offends you, a brother and a sister are fellow Christians. So Jesus is saying fellow Christians will offend you. And when they do, here's how you deal with it. Now we can think, well, the church is full of Christians and Christians are nice people. They're full of love. So if I go there to that church, they will always be nice to me and no one will ever hurt me. Wrong. Jesus knows us well. He knows. He knows Christians can be offensive. And if you're new here at City Church, let me warn you right now, you will be offended. It's just a matter of time. We don't try and offend anyone. But the reality is wherever there are people, there will come offense. Because Christians can be offensive at times. Ask the person next to you right now, do you find me offensive? No, don't answer that. You might not like the answer. If someone has offended you, please don't bail on church. The church is not a building. It's the body of Christ, the people of God, and you are an important part of that. And as believers, the church is central to our very lives and being. Jesus loves his church, and we need to also. The church is his bride. There's nothing else like the church. The church is not perfect, but it's the only one he's got, and he chooses to work through it. The church isn't perfect because it's full of us, imperfect people. If you're looking for a perfect church, you won't find it. And if you ever do find the perfect church, for goodness sake, don't join it. You'll wreck it. The church will not be perfect until it gets to heaven. And we need to be very careful. If we criticize the church, we are criticizing God's bride. And he does not take too kindly to that. We poke our finger in the eye of God when we despise his beloved. Some people were bailing on church, so Paul, if indeed it was Paul who wrote the book of Hebrews, said this, our fourth scripture, Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 5. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. All the more as we see the day approaching. That's a word for someone here today. Don't give up on going to church on Sundays, on going to Connect Group, because we need each other. We need each other's fire. Your fire sparks my fire and vice versa. If my fire is burning low, your fire, your love for God can rekindle my fire. You know, if someone's car's stopped, you get jumper leads and you get the power from one engine onto the other engine. And it's like that with us. If someone's engine of their spirit is running low, then you can get the jumper leads, your arms, your hands, of the Holy Ghost and put them on. And the power of God that's inside you, as you lay hands on and pray for them, goes into them, from you and into them, and their fire is rekindled. Their engine is restarted. Just by coming to church, just by coming to Connect Group, you are encouraging others by voting with your feet and turning up. We encourage one another in our love for God as we worship together, because the truth is we are one. We are one army. We are one body. And if one part hurts, we all hurt. And we've got to learn to lift each other daily. Ask yourself, am I a lifter of others? We all need someone to give us a lift at some point, not a facelift, but like a lift in general. David had Jonathan. Paul had Timothy. Moses had Aaron and Hur, commonly known as him and her. Frodo had Sam. Batman had Robin. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. And right now you're thinking, I'm going to ask you, who have you got? But I'm not. I'm going to ask you, who are you lifting up right now? Who are you building up? Whose hands are you holding up like Aaron and Hur did for Moses? Who are you seeking out to lift up and build up and care for and encourage like Jonathan did for David? Oh, it's easy to think, well, I'll help someone, I'll lift someone else, I'll build someone else up when they do it to me first. No, be the one to do it first. Take the step of faith. Sow a seed of blessing and love. Connect with someone, lift them, build them up with your words. Invite a new person over to your place for dinner. Pick up someone new at church on your way to Connect Group. We must always be constantly enlarging our circle of friends. It can never be just us four and no more. And no, you can't come. The kingdom of God is an ever-increasing kingdom. Therefore, we must always be making room for new people in it. The truth is, we are stronger together, and the devil knows this, and that is why he tries to divide us. God is into unity, Satan is into division, and the devil's main tools to achieve this are always the same: pride, offense, and isolation. Pride will stop the grace of God flowing every time. It will stop God's flow and bring division. The devil uses offense to try and bring separation and isolation to the flock. A little lamb goes off crying because a big sheep has been mean to it. And then Satan, the devouring lion, goes and picks off that little lamb because it's all by itself out there, away from the protection of the flock. It's on its own. It's the same old trick time and again, because the devil has no new tricks. He will use offense every time. And the cycle of offense goes something like this. You're at church, and then it's awesome. But as people get to know you and you start getting walking and journeying with people at Connect Group, people get to know you more, someone speaks into your life. Maybe it's your Connect Group leader. And then you think, how dare you say that to me? And you leave, and you find another church. And then the same thing happens again. It's so awesome, but after a while, after maybe a year, you get to know people more and people start speaking into your life, but you don't want to hear it. You get offended. How dare they? And you leave and you go to another church. And the same thing happens again and again and again. And we can move around because of the wrong reason. Now, if God tells you to move somewhere, do it. Obey him. And God does do that sometimes. But if we're moving churches out of the wrong reason, or we're moving Connect Groups, I don't like that Connect Group, I'll go to another one, because of the wrong reason, because we're offended, then that is the wrong reason. We've got to let people speak into our lives. It's so important. We must let people close enough to us to do that, because God works through delegated authority, leadership, and we must let God mold us and speak to us, even through others. We've got to ditch that, well, no one's going to tell me what to do, attitude. God will work on you through those in authority over you, your parents, your boss, even non-Christian parents and non-Christian bosses, your Connect Group leader, pastors, people who are discipling you. Remember, you asked God on the altar call. Remember, you said, God, change me. God, make me like you. And he heard you. And now he's starting to do it. And your Connect Group leader's going, man, your breath stinks. Have a Tic Tac. And you're like, how dare he speak to me like that? But God is answering your prayer. He's starting to disciple you as you asked him to. And then we're offended, but they're just trying to help us. The Lord is committed to your discipleship. He is committed to your growth. He is discipling you through them. Don't run from it. Embrace it. Grow through it. If the band could come, please. When we spend time together in God's presence, we connect. We connect. There is such a thing as a spirit of unity. Romans 15:5 speaks of a spirit of unity that is sent from God. It comes as we follow Jesus together. Our unity becomes stronger as we each draw nearer to the Lord. It's like God is central, like a wheel in the middle. God is central, and then we're all around the outside. As we move in nearer to God, we're all actually moving nearer to each other as well. When we walk in love and agreement, we walk in unity. Another scripture in Acts 4:32 said, all the believers were one in heart and mind. This is supernatural unity, and it is a result of the Holy Spirit's filling. This unity is a sign and a witness to unbelievers. God not only loves unity, he blesses unity. Our last fifth scripture is Psalm 133, you probably know it. Verse 1 and then through to verse 3, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like precious oil. And then on verse 3, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. God has got huge blessing that he wants to give. Huge blessing. He's just looking for some unity somewhere so he can bestow his blessing there. Unity happens when we connect, when we put Jesus first and serve him together, when we put Jesus' agenda before our own. We put the agenda of God before our own personal desires. We put Sunday and Tuesday nights, or whenever your connect group is, before all our other things that we would like to do. This is lordship. When it hits the calendar, that is when it's lordship. This is lordship. You know, someone told me about these huge redwood trees in California, some of the tallest trees in the world. Some of them are over 300 feet tall. Some of them are over 2,500 years old. And you would think with trees that high that their root systems must be incredible, that they haven't been blown over in a storm in the last 2,500 years. Now, over 300 feet tall, their root systems must go down hundreds of feet, but they don't. These trees actually have a very shallow root system. But the key is their roots are all entwined with the other trees beside it. Their roots are locked together. And when the storm comes, they stand firm because they stand together. And they help one another stand. They're connected and they stand firm as one. Unity happens. It happens when our desire and hunger for God starts to get greater and outweigh our own personal ideas and agendas. There comes a time when we must lay down our individual agendas for God's greater agenda. Lay down our individual schedules for God's greater schedule. Lay down our individual priorities for God's greater priority. And his priority is that we connect all together in one place so he can pour out his spirit again. I want to ask you today to commit to connection afresh so we can journey together. Let's stand, shall we? Put our Bibles down. Thank you, Lord. Let's close our eyes. God may be speaking to you today about becoming part of a connect group if you're not already, about maybe leading one, about maybe hosting one in your home or being part of something. It was so amazing after Alan and I had preached on serving the other week, how many people put their hands up to serve. That was incredible. And serving is awesome. We also need to be connecting with people. What I want you to do right now is put your hand on the person's shoulder on either side of you. We're going to pray. And then we want to pray for some people as well. We've got time. Father, right now we pray that you would make us one as you are one, that your church would be one, that you would give us a supernatural love for one another, that we would not stand alone, but we would stand firm in you together. Oh God, I pray you give us a heart that would put your agenda and your schedule above our own, your priorities above our own, in Jesus' name. Father, we do ask for an outpouring on your Spirit that we would be all together in one place as they were in Acts 2, that you would give us this love and commitment to unity and to one another that you have toward us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we sing this worship song, I also want to ask, because I know when you speak on things like connection and fellowship, you can open up a can of worms because of people's past pain. And if there's been pain in your heart from this whole area in your past, I want you to come now, because I believe the Lord wants to minister to you. And I believe he wants you to set people free this morning right here down on this altar. Whatever it is, maybe it's something about marriage, maybe it's something about your family or your past or past church connections, but we want to open up this altar now. We have time to minister in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.